Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends, to another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you're having a wonderful celebration of Easter, even in the midst of the trial that we're facing, this pandemic, which continues to take the lives of many people around the world. But this is a time when the Lord is calling all of us to draw closer to Him. And to draw closer to Him means, in part, to remember who we are. One of the things you see throughout the New Testament is how often the apostles, especially at the beginning of the letters that they've written, what they do is they communicate to us what they know for sure about what Christ has accomplished for us, the gift of new life that we've been given, but also they pray for, and then they teach us about what that reality means for us right now. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's not just a past event. It's not just an event that will someday affect us after we die. It certainly will. But the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and His ascension into glory to the right hand of the Father and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which flows from Him, the life of God that's given to us in baptism, has really changed us. And the apostles want us to know and understand what we've been given so that we can live in it in a way that will transform us, that will cooperate with God's grace, saying yes and believing what He's done for us and what He's given to us. And the more we say yes to it, the more we're aware of it, the more we understand it, the more it's going to transform us. So I thought I'd do is just take a look at this week, different things that the apostles taught as they celebrated the magnificent gifts we've been given from the God who makes all things new. He's making us new right now. We can become a new creation in Him. We're called to become a new creation in Him. And that grace is meant to continue to grow and grow and grow and produce real change in us, transformation, putting the old man to death, the new man coming alive, and us being able to step into, no matter what the circumstance of life, being able to step into and experience what the apostles talked about, that they understood that they were walking in deeper freedom, that Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, that they begin to experience the life of God more profoundly, more consistently, more deeply. He came to give us joy, real joy, not silliness or just simply happiness, but He came to give us a deep, abiding joy that flows from the knowledge of who we are and what God has done for us. I'd like to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where St. Paul exhorts the Corinthians to give themselves a test. He said, test your faith. This is interesting. This is in verse 5. He said, examine yourselves to see whether you're holding to your faith. It's a great thing to do in this season, in this challenging time that we're living in. Test yourself. Are you holding to the faith? Paul says, do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. It's crucial for us to be able to realize that we haven't just been given more information from Jesus or just guidance, commandments, insight. Christ has made us a temple, a living tabernacle. God has come to dwell in us. This is the great news, that God who was far off has been brought near to us in Christ. Not just that Jesus took on human flesh like ours, but He did all that to deal with what separates us from God so that God could come and dwell in us. And His new life, His power would give us a capacity to become children of God and to live an entirely new way of life. And that's for every single one of us. So each of the apostles internalized that faith and they preached it powerfully and they communicated knowing that their brothers and sisters, if they heard it, faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God, and they internalized it and they received the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, whose fundamental mission is to reveal to your heart and to mine the magnificent glory and majesty of Jesus. So we can know Jesus like the saints know Jesus. We could know Jesus the way the apostles knew Jesus. So I'm going to start with 1 Peter today and just give you one example of the clarity and the conviction he has and how he sees the work of Christ manifesting in the people that he's been shepherding and preaching the gospel to. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So he begins with this great blessing. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ!" Exclamation point. "By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading." Now, each one of us, we can insert our name in here to personalize this, to understand that Jesus' incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection had a goal. Jesus' goal, his intention, was to honor the Father by loving him really to the point of death, obeying him and obeying his command, surrendering his life to him, making an offering of his life even to the point of death in obedience to the Father, showing us what love looks like, but giving to the Father what belongs to the Father, right? Doing justice to God. So that was Jesus' first motive, I believe, just to say yes to the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in that act of love, that yes to the Father, he breaks the power and the dominion of darkness, sin and death, the world of flesh and the devil. It all gets subdued under his power and authority. And then he takes human flesh into the presence of the Father, and it's glorified, right? That which had fallen from glory is now raised to glory. So now Jesus establishes our destiny. Our destiny is to be with our Father in glory. And then he pours out the Holy Spirit upon us, and we're born again. So here's what Peter is saying. By his great mercy, this is the great mercy, the gift of God, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the shedding of his blood for salvation. And from that cross, Jesus' second, you might say, great destiny was knowing he was going to eventually, all of this was going to lead to the possibility for God to come and dwell in us, as I said earlier, as in a temple. This is what he had in mind. So this is God's gift. And this is what it means. None of us deserve this, but Peter reminds us, it's been given to you by God's mercy. And what has he given to you? What's happened to you? You've been born anew. You're born again. Like John the Apostle said, you're born again by water and the Spirit. You are literally, friend, a new creation. In the midst of all the trial, all the angst in society today, all the difficulty, all the panic and the fear, and the confusion and the sense of lack of control, the disordering of our schedules, the troubled finances, all of that's there, and it creates stress and it creates fear. This is where Christianity's power can really transform the way we walk through trials. Because remember, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations, real ones, serious ones. But how did he tell us to respond? He said, "But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." Well, how can we be of good cheer? We can be of good cheer if we internalize what the apostles are teaching us here, and we believe it, and we begin to cherish and welcome the gift at a whole new level. It's the Holy Spirit who wants to enable us to be able to receive this in a way that it's not just a distant thought or an idea, but it's an identity. It's a confident awareness of the gift. And it's receiving that gift and walking in that gift. So God's mercy has come to you, Peter tells us, so that you can be born anew. You can be born again to a living hope. The living hope is the resurrected Christ. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment of the promise of our being able to share in what belongs to Jesus, in his resurrected existence, his existence beyond death. It's a hope, which means it's a confident expectation of what we see through faith. We see who Jesus is. We see what he's established, the new creation that's in him. And we know and we believe by faith that we've received the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment of that new creation. And hope tells us, yes, what you've begun to experience is going to continue to grow, but you can see your destiny. What belongs to Jesus, you're going to have a share in. It's already begun, but you're going to have a full share when you pass from death to life in him. He said this living hope comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember, Christianity is the resurrection from the dead, friends. It's what it's all about. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a religious system. It's not just a set of commands. It's new life in Jesus Christ that God the Father, through the Son and in the power of the Spirit, is offering to humanity. This is what salvation is. There's no salvation apart from this grace. That is Jesus Christ the Lord being able to give to whomever says yes to his offer the gift of divine life, sharing in the life of God. Peter goes on, he says, okay, and this is to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Our hope is in receiving the inheritance of the firstborn. That's Jesus. He's promised it to us. He's called us his friends, and he's giving us a share in it. And this is an inheritance which will not perish. It's not defiled, and it's not fading away. Every inheritance on this earth, if you inherited all of Bill Gates' money, you're going to die without. You're going to die someday. It's fading. It's passing. It can't give you what you most need, which is a new creation, a new life. And this is beautiful. In verse 5, Peter tells us, all of this, this inheritance, is guarded for you by God's power, for salvation to be revealed in the last time. Your Father in heaven, who initiated the whole work of salvation and redemption, who chose you from the foundation of the world, who made you and shaped you, he's guarding this inheritance for you because he wants you to live with him forever, for all eternity. In verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials. There we go, friends, trials. We're living through a trial right now. And Christianity is so realistic. It understands the fallen condition of the human race and of the world and the trials that come with it and the resistance to God's revelation. It says, so that this testing is so the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, that it may redound to the praise and glory and honor and the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord permits the kind of testing that we're going through, and he wants us to go deeper with him, to not be gripped by panic, but saying, Lord, I want to press into you more. I want to lean into you. I want to walk more fully in a radical love for you and learn how to abide in you more, Lord, so I can bear fruit for your kingdom. Without having seen him, Peter goes on, he says, you love him, though you do not now see him. You believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. There you can see the power, the transforming power of a people who live with the understanding of what they've been given in Christ. They've internalized it. They've enthroned it in their hearts. They hunger after it. They seek it. They rely on it. They count on it, and they expect the Lord to be faithful to his word and all of his promises to us. And what does it do? In the midst of great trial and great suffering, they're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. They've fallen radically in love with someone they've never physically laid eyes on. They have a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's changing everything for them. Lord, I pray today that that's exactly what we would come to experience and that we would receive and walk in for the praise of your glory. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, help us to live more radically, confidently, and freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.